Hello and welcome to NewsHour from the BBC World Service.
I'm James Menendez.
And we're going to begin today with what may turn out to be a milestone in global capitalism. The world's first dollar trillionaire. And just to be clear, that is $1,000 billion or $1 million million. A genuinely eye-watering sum in the hands of a single person. And it is, of course, the CEO of Tesla, Elon Musk, already the world's richest man, who's worth an estimated $500 billion, thanks to his investments in the electric car company and also SpaceX, the social media site X, Starlink and so on. And despite his ill-fated dalliance with the Trump administration. Well, in a moment, we'll be discussing whether he or indeed anyone is worth $1 trillion, what that says about tech valuations right now, and what it says about the state of capitalism in 2025. But first, here's how it all unfolded at Tesla's annual meeting of shareholders in Texas.
On the 2025 CEO Performance Award to our founder and CEO, Elon Musk, with over 75% voting in favor, approved.
Elon, they're chanting there. Well, to celebrate, Elon Musk got up on stage to dance alongside two of his Optimus robots.
And those bots are just dancing. They have no wires. Those are actual robots.
Susanna Street is a money and markets expert here in London. Susanna, good to have you with us here on the programme. What does he have to do to unlock this vast pay award then?
Well, this is a performance-related pay package, James, on steroids. Now, remember, Tesla's current valuation of around $1.4 trillion is already based on the belief that it's a robotic and AI giant in waiting. No longer just an electric car company, but for Musk to get awarded 400 million new shares, representing that $1 trillion payout, the company would have to achieve a valuation of around $8.5 trillion. And there is already concern that company valuations have been overhyped by the enthusiasm for all things AI. But he's also got other milestones to cross. He has to deliver 20 million Tesla vehicles and sell 1 million of those Optimus humanoid robots. You heard them there dancing in the clip. Also bring 1 million self-driving robo-taxi vehicles into commercial operation and get 10 million subscriptions to Tesla's full self-driving package in its car. So all in all, it is a very tall order, but shareholders clearly believe giving him this mega incentive might concentrate his attention.
Yeah. In other words, they were worried he was going to walk away, were they?
There was some concern that he could walk away, but actually I think that was part of the marketing drive to get shareholders on side. Remember, Norway's huge sovereign wealth fund voted against this, but there are armies of retail investors who are shareholders in Tesla. The problem that Tesla has is also that it's up against the competition. You know, we've got Waymo, Alphabet's self-drive operation already rolling out cars. We've got China's huge drive into robotics with the Agibot, for example, very similar to Optimus. It's going to be difficult, I think, for Tesla to achieve these ambitions. But they're thinking, well, why not? Let's try and give him this incentive.
And as you say, all against the backdrop of this sort of growing fear that some of these tech valuations, well, they're too high and that we may be in some sort of bubble.
There has been this enthusiasm again for Tesla stock, and it is built on this expectation that it's going to become an AI giant. So already you could say that its valuation has increased on these hopes. And then there are expectations that it could really grow to $8.5 trillion amid all of these worries about the potential AI bubble bursting.
Susanna, thank you very much indeed. Susanna Streeter there. Well, to talk about what all this means, we brought together the economist Yanis Varoufakis, who was once Greece's finance minister in the socialist government there of 2015. He's also author of the recently published Techno-Feudalism, What Killed Capitalism? And Martin van der Weyer, business editor of The Spectator, a right-leaning news magazine in the UK. Martin, first, is this pay award justified?
I would say not. They're putting an enormously high value on
the sort of unique talent of Elon Musk. But it's these are such extraordinary numbers that I don't think you can possibly justify an award of anything like this scale to anyone ever, frankly. It's not even as if he invented the Tesla electric car in the first place. You know, I mean, he's made a great success of that business. It is a world recognized brand, and he is an extraordinarily talented business leader in his own way. But this is on a scale that's absolutely beyond anything you could rationally support.
Yanis Varoufakis, I mean, if Elon Musk does achieve the targets, he makes money for shareholders, a lot of money for shareholders. Is it right that he is rewarded accordingly?
I take an agnostic view on it. If the shareholders want to reward Elon's unchecked power in the hope that their shares will rise through the roof, well, good luck to them. What I think is really very interesting is where these valuations are coming from. And they are certainly not coming from any present value or expectation of, you know, how many cars they're going to sell, how many parts, how many robots. It's got to do much more with the capacity of a company like Tesla to use its cloud capital, its AI, to harvest data while you're driving your car, so that you can be encased. It's something that is a platform, a digital platform, not a market, and manage to extract what I call cloud rents from the population who will be using these cars. This is the bet they're making. So it's not capitalism as usual. It's what I call techno-feudalism.
Martin, what does it say to you about capitalism, and in particular where we are now? Does it speak of an AI bubble that many people have said we're in at the moment?
Yeah, I'm pretty certain it does. There is a boom. Booms are followed by busts. The defenders of these extreme price rises and things like this pay award would say, ah, yes, but it's still not as bad as the dot-com boom. Well, that's hardly a defense, frankly. You know, it's not a fatal blow to capitalism that they're making a ridiculous award to Elon Musk. It's just a symptom of a particular time and the power of a very, very charismatic and unusual personality, I think.
Yeah, and on that, Yanis, I mean, if anyone's going to make what you talk about work and fill the world with robotless taxis and indeed robots doing all sorts of things for us, isn't it someone like Elon Musk?
It probably is. Vile personality that he is, I have to give him that. Remember when he bought Twitter, called it X, and everybody laughed at him, that it was a ridiculous investment. Well, he had a vision, and his vision was that the Tesla that you drive is not going to give him that much money. But your data while you're driving it, the fact that you know, it is connected to the cloud, and it will know exactly what music you're listening to, where you're going to, which supermarket have you purchased, whatever it is you've purchased, that information is, and the way in which he uses it, or his cloud capital uses it, in order to extract more rents from you, he needed Twitter because he had no interface with the cloud. This is what shareholders are valuing in Elon Musk.
Martin, how much of an asset to the company is he? I mean, there was a time when people were saying that he was tarnishing the brand and affecting sales. I mean, there is risk here, isn't there?
Yes, he did tarnish the brand. His Doge episode was a catastrophe. He is, I mean, how can we put it? Yanis just described him as a vile personality. He is a very strange fellow. If you want a prediction, I'd say Musk, for a combination of reasons, will burn out before he achieves all of these extraordinary things that this award is based on. And I think Tesla as a stock will burn out. It'll be overtaken by some cleverer entrepreneurs that are coming along either in California or in China. This is a too good to be true, too much to believe, top of the market kind of a story.
Yanis, he's not the only very rich tech entrepreneur. What do you see are the dangers of this concentration of wealth in a small group of very, very rich people obsessed with tech?
What I find astonishing is where this wealth is coming from. It is no longer coming from producing and selling things of achieving monopoly power like Henry Ford or Thomas Edison used to. Now you have people like Jeff Bezos and increasingly Elon Musk, because he's moving to the cloud away from actual material production. They are managing essentially to replace markets with digital fiefdoms, digital platforms like Amazon.com, produce absolutely nothing or very little of material goods, and manage to extract rents from producers and consumers. Whenever you buy something from Amazon, 40% goes to Jeff Bezos.
Martin, do you see this as a sort of reputational risk for capitalism, that it's actually, you know, making lots of people around the world think that capitalism isn't working?
Well, not entirely. I mean, I probably differ from Yanis in the sense that I'm fundamentally pro-capitalist and an admirer of entrepreneurs who build great disruptive businesses. In some ways, that's good. And then the second thing that's good is the better ones, they then do huge philanthropy. And that's a terrific thing. That can solve great problems of the world. These guys, however, this current crop, they don't do philanthropy. They sort of buy power. But to make money is a good thing if you've built a great business, and then to spend it philanthropically is an even better thing.
Yanis Varoufakis, just a final word from you. I mean, do you think we're heading for a fall? We're about to fall off a cliff edge?
There's no doubt that a big one is coming. But then again, this is capitalism. It produces crises like it produces iPhones and Tesla cars. Allow me a comment to say that, Martin, I trust you keep the capitalist face, like I keep the socialist face. But both you and I are irrelevant today, because this is no longer capitalism, certainly not socialism. What it is a system in which a new form of capital, a produced means of behavioral manipulation, not a produced means of production, is taking over, and it is replacing markets, and it is replacing profits, and it is replacing them with cloud fiefdoms and a form of cloud rent, which is feudal in its substance. So, yes, people like us, I think we're becoming obsolete.
Well, I think you can say we've moved into an age of monopoly seeking, as opposed to genuine competition. But as each of these titans of tech seek a monopoly in their field, the risk to them is the next guy comes along, knocks them out.
It's worse than that, Martin. It's worse. They're not seeking a monopoly. They're replacing the market altogether with something, a fiefdom that they own, from which they extract the rent. This is no longer the time of Henry Ford and Westinghouse.
Yanis Varoufakis there, economist. I was also speaking to Martin van der Weer, business editor of The Spectator. You're listening to NewsHour.